Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to give a big shout out to our Christian Television Network audience out there and those that are listening to us. Did you know that China just surpassed America, according to CBN News, just surpassed American exports?
Really?
Wow. Our economy's much larger, but they just surpassed America in exports.
Wow.
And it's like we're not creating anything outside of us. We're not building things outside
not
of us.
Not making anything.
We're not having babies outside of us. We're not doing anything outside of us.
Mm.
It's all about us. And it just every, you know, they had the same situation in Japan, where in the 80s that people started saying, listen, the way success of Japan, everybody's gonna start have to, if you want to do business in the future, you got to learn Japanese. But the Japanese quit having babies. They quit having babies. There's a report right now, there's a book out, I'm thinking of the name of it, is What to Expect When America's Not Expecting, talking about babies, something like that.
Wow.
Just came out fresh. We'll talk more about that. But what in Japan was, if you interview young boys today in Japan, some of them, I forget the numbers of, as large, they said they're repulsed at the idea of marrying a Japanese woman, period. Just getting married, period. But they're repulsed. It's like, that's what this guy reports in his book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the whole concept of getting together with your wife or husband and being married. And by the way, the church has messed up marriage so bad that we're having all these seminars how to gratify yourself in a marriage versus, you know, Malachi plainly says the purpose of you two becoming one flesh is to bear godly offspring. To be able to have children and raise them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. And now it's just like, hey, you know, how do I, you know, it's all about the me thing. And so they're saying that just the whole concept of these beautiful Japanese women that these young teenage boys are being interviewed, and there's the whole idea of it is negative to them, you know? And it's like, this is the downfall of our culture. We got to realize that, you know, when we don't love each other anymore. And the thing is, so many things, and we'll talk about this in the extra hour today, and I don't have a lot of time to talk about it, is that the digital realm and the virtual world is not real, but it's replacing reality. What was probably going on in Japan with these young teenage boys and all that is that they're getting their needs met virtually. They're having relationships with things that aren't real.
All right.
That doesn't argue with them or give them a difficult time or, you know, whatever. And it's given them a false sense of fulfillment. But what happens is it ends with that generation. It's like Satan's evil. Every paradigm that this Isaiah talks about him, that he was thrown from heaven, and we're going to look at him and say, you caused all this dilemma? You know, that's what he's causing the lies that we're believing.
Right.
But that's coming up soon. What to Expect When We're Not Expecting. I believe that's the name of the book. It just came out this week, maybe. And America's not expecting. Not expecting much anything for the next generation. And it's just shocking to see what's taking place. We have to begin to deal with, and we're going to talk about it in the extra hour, you know, what about this virtual world? What about this digital world? And what about, you know, is it real? I feel real, and these type of things. We got to figure out how we're going to respond to it before it literally takes over all of our natural responses in a counterfeit way. We're just talking about, where we are in the context of, in the book that I was mentioning is, what to expect when we're not expecting America's demographics, I believe it's called.
What to expect when no one's expecting America's demographic disaster.
Right. And we're not. I mean, you look at Europe, would have actually already been minimalized now.
Yeah.
Great Britain, but they have it because of immigration from North Africa, which is a Muslim migration that's happened into Europe. That's why in a short period of time, it's going to be an Islamic nation because they mm-hmm. they stopped having after World War II, I believe it was. They just stopped, and they've been trying since World War II to get, you know, the English to begin to have children, wow. and it just hadn't worked. For the longest time, of course, you know, the Catholic Church promoted, you know, lots and lots of children.
Mm-hmm.
But it still boils down to, you know, the dream in America, people say it averages out to 2.5, but the reality is it's lower than that. And they say things like, this guy that writes this book, it's like, because children, if you look at the entire lifetime of a child and their education and the food and the medical expenses and everything you do, it costs you $1 million per child. And I'm thinking, do not tell my child that. He's like, you owe me an allowance. No, it's like $1 million a child. Like, what have we come to that, you know, what was because of our expectations have changed from reality to some sort of, you know, raising princes and princesses or something instead of saying, hey, get out here with me and we're going to do this as a family together. You pick that side of the field and I'll pick this side of the field and we'll eat tonight.
You pick up that shovel and I'll pick up my shovel.
Yes. Speaking of that, I did see your boy shoveling this weekend, shoveling Nemo off your house.
That's right. building the muscles up.
Nemo was swimming over your house and made a deposit all over that puppy.
Huge deposit.
Yes. But it's so easy because snow's light.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The first one is.
Yeah, the clue is not that the thing is not to keep stepping on the snow and keeping it the snow that you have to shovel because you're compacting it and make it even harder to get out.
It sounds like you're reliving this. You're just supposed to talk to us. You already.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm
like,
sorry.
I feel like I'm Isaiah or something, or Elijah. You're done. Like, stop stepping on the snow.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I was so cool. I loved what I saw Isaiah shoveling behind the car. And you sent me a picture of that, and it's just so cool to see Isaiah out there. And I think Elijah was dusting the stuff off the car with a brush or something.
They did a good job.
I'm so proud of them, man. And I think you're the ones taking picture while they were doing all the shoveling, right?
Hey, you know, supervising, making sure it's done right.
Making sure they're doing it right.
The digital age. We're going to be talking about the digital age. People actually just take pictures of it. They don't really do it. Mm-hmm. Some of the chapters in this book, you know, What to Expect When No One's Expecting the American Demographics, written by Jonathan V. Last, is the introduction talks about one child for all. And then chapter one is America's falling fertility. Chapter two is the root of one child. Chapter three is sex and maybe marriage. Chapter four, what you can and cannot measure. Five is very bad things. Six, the bright side. Okay, we're panning out here. By page 88, you're getting to the bright side. And seven is domestic politics and foreign policy. Chapter eight is losing the battle, what not to do. And chapter nine, how to make babies. I mean, think about this, that China, they kill any baby over one.
Mm.
Their policy is to kill, if you have more than one baby, to kill the baby. And they have a shortage of girls for the men there because the man carries on the name and carries on the family and the woman doesn't. Therefore, if they find out it's a female child, that they either don't tell the government that they had the child or they kill her through abortion.
Wow.
And and so they're the Chinese men are going to other nations like Indonesia or whatever, and they're finding their wives, which is a big deal for, you know, Chinese to do that in China. And it's like, this is a plot.
Mm.
You know, church, this is a plot, America. Satan wants to destroy the image and the likeness of God. If he can't end us, you know, by us just saying no, he will kill us off before we get a chance to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that the destruction of the human race in any form is evil. It's of the devil, and it's demonic. Mm-hmm. And you know, talking about wanting to partner with, you know, I don't know. I mean, you think about this. I mean, how many made in China things do we have in America? And mm-hmm. and they have this kind of policy, where if you have more than one child, and the genocide that's taking place in that nation. And the parents have to sneak around to have a child. And it's a healthcare thing too, I believe. Mm-hmm. They say, we'll give you healthcare for one child.
Mm.
But anything more than one child that you don't get in healthcare.
Oh, wow.
So that goes into a whole nother realm of, oh, I didn't understand that they wouldn't cover the next child.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Poll. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize, or what they call proselytize, their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
There's nothing like wisdom from those who have gone before us. I mean, think about it. Reverend Billy Graham, that's reached the world. He's being interviewed by Greta Van Susteren here on Fox News, and she's asking him a very important question. It's something that we talk about all the time about an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But listen to the wisdom of Reverend Billy Graham as she asks him a very important question. We'll be right back.
If you were to do things over again, would you do it differently?
Yes. I would study more. I would pray more. Travel less. Take less speaking engagements. I took too many of them in too many places around the world. If I had to do over again, I'd spend more time in meditation and prayer and just telling the Lord how much I love Him and adore Him. And I'm looking forward to the time we're going to spend together for eternity.
Why would you speak less when you had such an enormous audience and people listening? Why would you want to speak less?
I didn't mean that I would speak less in these great stadiums. I meant that I would speak less at all kinds of conferences and things that I was invited to throughout the world, especially in Great Britain and the United States, because I'd get up and travel to those places, and I didn't have time to think and study and pray, and I needed time for that. And if I had to do it over again, I would try to organize it much better.
I mean, think about it. All this wisdom and the word of God tells us, imitate those that have gone before us. We can either start again, like we have not borrowed the experience and grown from those wisdom that has gone before us, such as Reverend Billy Graham, or we could say, you know what? He's right. I'm going to apply the wisdom that he's learned in his life, and I'm going to begin to abide. In my schedule, in my time, it's going to be specifically how I love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. If you don't have a plan right now how to abide with God, this is what we talk about continually. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today that we have available for you so you can begin to walk in this wisdom today. It's iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, guys, today so many people right now are talking about why things can't be done. They're talking about their limitations. They're talking about obstacles and challenges that they face. And I just saw a video. I just saw a video that so challenged me. I don't know if I'll be ever able to say I just can't do that. I saw a man by the name of Richie Parker who, instead of turning his life over to his life circumstances and saying, you know what, these are the cards I was dealt with, so I just can't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
He decided that, you know what, I'm going to do something. On YouTube, there's this video. We're going to make this available for you on The Torch, but I want you to listen to Richie Parker's story. This is a man that does not have any arms, was born without arms. We have people today because they have certain situations in their life, because certain setbacks. I want you to listen to this and be encouraged to say, listen, all things are possible. Look how this man has lived his life and what he's been able to achieve and accomplish without any arms.
How do you get through your day? Make it from one place to another. One task to the next. How do you do it?
Every step of the way in life, there have been people that said that I can't do things, said that I couldn't ride a bicycle. There have been people that said that I couldn't live on my own, couldn't get a good job and support myself, or I couldn't go to college and graduate. I don't listen too much to people when they tell me I can't do something. There's not a whole lot that's gonna stand in my way. There were a lot of people that when I first started at Hendrick Motorsports, they had no idea what I could do and what I was going to do there. I have some guys that I'm good friends with now, and they told me that when they heard I was coming and when I first got there, their biggest thing was, well, what is he going to do?
Hendrick Motorsports is the most winning organization in NASCAR. From Jimmy Johnson to Jeff Gordon to Dale Earnhardt Jr. For any engineer drawn to racing, it's the elite destination.
We need to add a little clearance there for Will. All right.
For Richie Parker, it's been the job for the last 8 years. As a vehicle engineer at Hendrick, Parker designs chassis and body components for all four of its race teams, and does all his design work the way he does most everything, with his feet.
It's very demanding. When we have somebody like Chad Knaus that comes back from the racetrack and he says he needs something next week that's going to help him win a race, then no is never the answer.
Richie Parker was born in May 1983 in the coastal town of Beaufort, South Carolina. Right away, his parents knew something was wrong.
He said that there was a little issue, a complication, with the baby, and I said, what? And naturally, I think he moved me a little to the side and said the baby did not have arms. And I just was sort of dumbfounded, like, what do you mean?
Doctors told the Parkers the abnormality was the result of a non-genetic birth defect, creating bilateral amelia, a limb deficiency.
I'm thinking, how are we going to get through this? How would he eat? How would he open doors? How would he do just the normal day-to-day things? Once I saw Richie, it was no question after that.
He was the cutest baby. You know, he was the cutest little boy. After about 5 minutes, it was, when can I take my kid home? Just give him a kid.
We wanted his childhood to be as close to any other child's childhood as possible. That's always been our attitude. We are going to make it work. We might just do it differently, but it will work.
We put this on the door, and I can grab onto it like this with my shoulder and pull it out.
There were always things around the house that made it so that I didn't need to ask somebody else for help to do it. And that was always important to me. I had two parents that from day one tried to make it so that my life was, I guess you could say, as normal as possible, whatever normal is.
This came off a larger bike, somewhat like a beach cruiser.
The other kids in the neighborhood had a bike. Well, Richie's gonna ride a bike. And we understood some of the dangers. We got long handlebars and bent it up and then bent it out, and we welded a bar across from one handlebar to the other. And after that, he rode the bike with the other kids in the neighborhood. And he was just a kid riding his bike.
As a teenager, Richie's sense of independence found its sharpest focus in cars.
I always wanted to drive. I was told by a few different people, well, if there's a bus in your area or if there are taxi cabs, then that's all you need to do. You just use that as your transportation. But that just wasn't me.
When he was 15, Richie spotted his dream car, a 1964 Chevy Impala SS. The Parkers convinced the owner to sell it. 15 years later, it's still Richie's ride.
If the bicycle gave him a certain degree of freedom, the car, I think, gave him a greater amount of independence and pride. When he's in that car, everybody's on the same level.
In truth, Richie's entire life has been one remarkable study in engineering.
We thank for the food, we thank for the hands prepared, and ask that we use for the nourishment of our bodies. Amen.
Amen.
I might go both days.
Nearly every task requires ingenuity.
I can't say there's anything that I can't do. I don't know that there's a whole lot in life, period, that I could say that I can't do. Just things that I haven't done yet.
That attitude carried Richie to his current job at Hendrick.
I think I had about 20 resumes that I went through before I settled on Richie's. I knew he could do the things that I needed him to do. It was more a question of how.
We've got a few updates that we're making to this fixture to make some of the parts more durable and more adjustable than it is currently.
We sat down and he showed me how he works on the computer and how he does his design work. I write with my right hand, you write with your left hand. He happens to write with his feet.
Parker's initial internship with Hendrick was supposed to last 10 months. 8 years and 5 championships later, he's still here. How do you get through your day? Make it from one place to another, one task to the next. Don't ask Richie Parker. He's already moving on, down the road.
I'm just never satisfied. It's what drives me. I don't know where it comes from. And sometimes it kind of drives me crazy, but that's how I live my life.
That was Richie Parker, man that was born with no arms. I mean, you got to see this video on the torch. We're going to make sure it's, you know, embedded yes. there for you. You got to see it. But he rode a bike with no arms. He drove a car without any arms.
He's doing better at life with no arms than about 5 of us combined.
Exactly.
He's an engineer. Operates a computer with his feet.
A grinder with his feet. Amazing. You've got to see that. You've got to see that on the VFN Torch.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we were just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. is there something we prayed for a long time? You know, we prayed for a long time. And part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace. I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did sure that. Did. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude, you know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him, not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know what? I'm just so tired of religious folks, you know what I'm saying? That bound spirit, and I love them. I'm just tired of that. It's just like, come on, are you serious? You know, we don't have long flowing robes. Oh, I guess we do, but they just come in like Hawaiian shirts now. You know, the kind of loose. And it's like, come on, dude. Listen, we are for the body of Christ. We are for Jesus. We are for the kingdom of God. It's time to break loose outside of our mortar and outside of our bricks and come out into the streets where Jesus was found in the streets and let people know that God loves them and God's got a plan for their life. Okay, yes. I'm excited about this week. I'm excited because the same old thing has been going on since the beginning, since Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and all of a sudden the king of the day wanted to try to destroy the word of the day. His name was Jesus. Can we find the revelation and kill the revelation? Of course, a lot of people died because of them religious folks.
Yeah,
a lot of people died trying to kill what God was doing. But, you know, you can't, all the wisdom of man cannot destroy the wisdom of God. All the strength of man can't stop it.
That's right.
And, but many people get destroyed and hurt. And I couldn't imagine standing before the throne of God and being responsible for killing a whole bunch of children, thinking I was doing God a favor trying to kill Moses. Mm. Can you imagine that? Crazy. Can you imagine? I just can't imagine that. Or trying to kill Jesus and having, you know, all those dead babies around that you were trying to kill and you were used by the enemy to do that. I just can't imagine. That's what happened. You remember?
Yeah.
When Moses was born, you know, his mama had to put him in an ark, a little ark, if you would, and put him in the river and send him up the river all by himself with just God looking over him. Because if he would have stayed home, if he would have stayed in his Nazareth, mm-hmm. he would have been dead. They would have killed him. They would have killed Moses. Isn't that terrible? Listen, yeah. If anything that I've been, you know, in my life and since I've been born again, and Pat can vouch for this, is naive. And so can my spiritual father, who's now with the Lord. You know, I was always like, you know, this knife inside of me right now, they didn't really mean to put this knife inside. They didn't want to kill the revelation, right?
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true. True story.
Yeah. You know, Pat's going like, I just pulled the last knife out.
You're going for another
one again? You know, I just took the nail out your hand that was on the cross. Anyway, so and then, you know, here's Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And as soon as they, the same thing, another leader, you know, begins to say, I got to stop. And he was taken over by the devil and tried to take down Jesus and started killing babies left and right. So much so that God had to give his daddy, his you know, Joseph, his a dream and say, you know, dude, in a dream, he had to say, because you couldn't even watch the morning news to find out what was going on. He didn't realize, you know what I'm saying? There was no texting going on or nothing, but Jesus was always communicating. The news is always there, and he said, run, you know, God says, run for his life, and they take off and they begin to move. If they wouldn't have moved, they would have died. Don't tell me that God doesn't speak to you in a dream. We wouldn't even have a savior if God didn't operate that way, because that's where Joseph heard in a dream what he was supposed to do, that he was supposed to be married to Mary, that he was not supposed to have intimacy with his wife until Jesus was born, and his name would be, it was confirmed through in a dream that his name would be Jesus. So Mary didn't say, well, I tell you, God, I prayed last night, and God told me his name's got to be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Got like banners all over the house, little markers in his Bible, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No, she didn't try to manipulate Joseph or nothing. She just kind of shared with it. And he's going like, okay, well, I'm gonna go ahead and divorce you now, because I've never heard of, you know, immaculate conception and all that. So I'm just going to go ahead quietly just go, I don't know what happened in that cave, but I'm just going to, it's just over. Right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and he just kind of respectfully tried to leave. And then God spoke to him in a dream. And he said, listen, you know, this is me. What she's telling you is true, basically. And then his name is going to be Jesus. And then later on, he tells him another dream. You need to get up and go, because another leader is going to try to kill God's messengers again, and God's son. And it just, you know, this is what Jesus told us. He said, listen, there's going to be a day coming that people are going to kill you and say they're doing me a favor, doing God a favor.
Right.
And you think, you know, at some point, in what part of our history did we learn that we saw that happen in the last century, so we don't want to do that in this century. Okay, we saw that in the last decade, so we don't want to do it in this decade. Okay, we just saw it last year. We've learned last year, right? We don't want to do it this year, you know? And it's like, and then you start thinking about it. You know, I just really been meditating on this weekend, as you can tell. And, who did Jesus have issues with? Well, who was obviously nobody's under his skin, but I got to say, the way he responded to him, when you're rebuking somebody and you're calling them whitewashed tombs and you're calling them,
well, dead, you know,
dead man's bones, mm-hmm. you're saying that, you know, you're making them twice as much a son as hell as you are. I mean, I have to say, I would assume he's speaking to us about being religious versus relational.
Yeah.
And he was talking to the people that taught people about God. He was talking to people who taught people about God. And my goodness, you know, it's just like, I think, you know, that when he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it unto me, that we have, that ends with, by the way, that explanation of how the goat and the sheep situation is going to go is, it doesn't say because you said a prayer you're a sheep, you're a sheep in how you treat people. That's what he's saying. He's saying you're not a sheep because you said, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace. You know, we're not going to talk about the Pope today. But, or you said, you know, forgive me, you know, and I want you to be my savior. But then you go out and treat people like hell in the name of religion. He said, listen, when I was hungry, when I was thirsty, in other words, how you interacted with people determined who you really were. You know, you could be like a sheep on the outside, but a wolf on the inside.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so then he separates them, not based on whether we said a prayer or something, or whether we read our Bible, or whether we, you know, sacrificed everything and prophesied everything, not whether we used our gifts or not, and accurately or not accurately. He separated us based on how we treated people. And it ended with the sheep treated, the definition of the sheep is how they treated people. What was in their heart? Knowing what was in their heart, Jesus said, listen, dude and dudette, listen, don't quit worrying about what men think about it. God knows what's in your heart. If your heart is that way towards your brother or your sister, you know, and they're a Christian, that's the body of Christ. And that's how you're treating Jesus, bro. That's how you're treating Jesus, ma'am. You can't do that. I don't care how high your hat is and how flowing your robe is, that we're all going to stand there before the one who truly has the robe of justice at the throne of grace, and he's going to separate us there. I just want to encourage you. Listen, it's a lot sweeter and nicer to be down there with Mary with a busted alabaster box while people are criticizing you than to be the one that's standing up around Jesus who is seated down criticizing Mary for what he's doing and Jesus's mm-hmm. way of using finance, if you mm-hmm. would, in the ministry right there. But then he separates, he takes all the goats. He takes all the goats and he says, listen, you're going to go because the way you treated people, you're going to go to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's saying, listen, heaven and hell is going to be based off of whether we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, but the fruit will determine whether we've done that or not. And the fruit doesn't save us, but it lets everybody know that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And how we treat people. And it's amazing in the name of God how evil people can be, and the most evil of all, the ones that smile to your face and go out in the back and say all kinds of evil things. And David talked about it. David said, dear God, he said, my bones are wasted away. He says, I feel so isolated and alone, and even my neighbors and my friends don't want to have anything to do with me. Oh, dear God, what has happened? You know what? He was a man after God's own heart. He was the accurate one in the kingdom. Isn't that amazing?
Right. Yeah,
it's totally amazing. I just wouldn't want to be the one that was dissing David, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Mm. I just want to encourage you. You know, you'll have a lot more energy and time if you don't worry about what the Pharisee or the Sadducee is saying. And how would you describe that? You would call that a religious spirit. Somebody's just bound by self-righteousness, and they're basically speaking out and praying against the body of Christ instead of for the body of Christ. And it's sort of like an audience. And most of the church has turned into an audience in America, and they just kind of watch these shows versus like, hey, you're going to have to be held accountable. You're going to stand alone before God all by yourself, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your age is, no matter what your race is, no matter whether you're a pastor or you're a parishioner, whether you're a member of a church or you're actually the administrator of a church gathering. It doesn't matter. All alone, all by yourself. You're going to stand before God, no witnesses or no suspects. And it seems like these things have been compartmentalized to believe that we can just watch all this and live vicariously through others and say, you know, I'm going to own my relationship with God. I'm going to do whatever I can do for God in the vapor of time I have left. And if it's in his will, this is what I want to do for him. I want to be able to be fruitful for him. I want to be the sheep that stands before his throne that says, when he hears these words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know, and he talks even about the talents. You know, it doesn't matter if you got one talent. Work it hard, man. I mean, work it. I mean, just be glad. You'll be probably the better than anybody else at it because you got one talent and you know how to do everything. You can open cans with it. You can run with it. You can fight battles with it.
That's
you know what I'm saying? You can sleep and lean on it. I mean, whatever it is. It's amazing when people have just a limited amount of talents. They can just work it. But people who's got this huge toolbox, like, well, I don't know. Am I going to do this today? Am I going to do that today? It's like, oh, my goodness. And it's just like, whatever you got, realize that he's just expecting us to do, be faithful to what he's entrusted to us. I'm saying that because, you know, I think about, you know, what God said on my heart. I think about what Chuck Pierce said about America. He says, the reason why the government of America is stuck and the governments of the world is stuck, it just seems like to be, you know, my congressman is like sending me an email and I'm like, I didn't even want to read. It's the same thing. I mean, are you going to talk about parties and you're going to talk about this party or that party or him or her. And it's like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you doing as an individual? What are mm-hmm. you doing as a congressman? What are you doing as a senator? And it's so weird. It's just like, you know, when you were little, you know, as a kid, you know, if you're arguing with your sister or your brother, you wouldn't know about that. You just kind of go, nuh-uh, right? Nuh-uh. Well, she did, or well, he did. And it's like, but that gets nowhere. I mean, we're supposed to grow out of that. Yeah. You know, at some point when we grow up, then somebody just says, you know, we're going to do something about this. We're going to do something, even if we die doing it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God. That know ye not that Christ dwells in you, the hope of glory is inside of you, all these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you just look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other. And they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left. You know, and Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard thing, but I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk about keep it moving. Keep the gospel moving. Mm-hmm. We're talking about tightrope. We're talking about trusting the Lord. But it comes to a certain point in time where we've got to keep it moving. So many folks get tempted to be stagnant. You know what I'm saying? You don't say stagnant. It's dangerous. You know, which really, you're either moving forward or you're moving backward. Nothing really just stays. Mm-hmm. Everything's constantly moving. But the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ is meant to be moving, and it's meant for spreading.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a containment gospel. These are not seeds that we put in our pocket for one day. No, seeds are meant to be spread. The gospel is meant to be cast and shared and preached. And how many today are stuck trying to share the gospel to the same people in the same place,
yeah,
in the same way, getting the same results? No impact, no change.
Mm-hmm.
And in Acts chapter 13, and it just kind of goes a little bit into 14, Paul and Barnabas, they're out there sharing. They're sharing the gospel in the synagogue, and some received it and some didn't. And this is what verse 46 says. We had to speak the word of God to you first, but since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, now we will turn to the Gentiles. See, Paul and Barnabas had no problem saying, we're going to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. You got to keep the gospel moving.
Right.
We gave you an opportunity, gave you a chance, but since they rejected it, they didn't want to get nothing to do with it. He says, now we're going to move over to the Gentiles.
Yeah, there has to be that moment when you realize after you've been speaking and sowing to the same group of people and they've said no so many times, there has to be that point when you're like, well, all right then. You can't continue to spend your time on those that are saying no while there's those dying to say yes.
Yeah.
Got to move on.
Yeah. So Paul and Barnabas did exactly just that. They didn't keep sharing with those who continued to reject the word. They kept it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And many today are sharing the gospel with the same people over and over and over who said no.
No. That's right.
They said no. And if you keep spending all of your time with those who keep saying no, you will never reach the ones who will say yes. Maybe it's your family. Maybe you've just been preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. It's like, how many times do I got to tell you no? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your neighbors. It's time. It's time to put the go in gospel and keep it moving. You know, because the Jews rejected what was meant for them.
Yeah.
The gospel went to the Gentiles. And this is what the response was. In verse 47, he says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. They were made a light to the Gentiles. In verse 48, says, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who were appointed to eternal life believed.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the word spread when it got to those who wanted it.
Yeah.
They were delighted. But if you keep keeping it and the gospel contained and sharing it with people, say no, it's never going to keep spreading. It's never going to keep going. Doesn't mean that we stop praying for folks. It doesn't mean that we don't stop sharing with them at some given point in time. But you got to keep it moving. Right. You got to keep it moving. And so Paul and Barnabas, the word says, they dusted their feet. They dusted their feet and went on to Iconium.
Mm-hmm.
But even there, some of the Gentiles, they believed, and some of the Jews continued to stir it up. And the word says they poisoned their minds against Paul and Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? You know, Paul and Barnabas, they kept them moving. They were in one synagogue. They went over to the Gentiles. They went into Iconium. And then it got serious. There was a plot to take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? They found out about it. and went to Lystra and Derbe and surrounding areas where they continued to preach the good news. If we're going to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must keep it moving and allow God to send us to a people who are hungry.
Yeah.
And the truth is that God has made you a light for a people. When your light arrives, they will respond.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I made you a light to the Gentiles. Go to the Gentiles. But if you keep the gospel contained to a place where people don't want to hear it, they've told you 100 times or however many times they said no,
mm-hmm.
you got to get it outside there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep it moving because there is a people that will say yes. And there are people all over the world who are hungry for God. But you must be willing to leave the ones who said no for those who say yes. There's a great harvest of souls. There's a great harvest of souls to be reached, but it's going to take all of us to go to reach them. Mm-hmm. You know, on VFN Radio, we talked about no preacher is coming. The whole church is coming out. You got to listen to this. The day of the one-man show is over. It's going to take the entire church to be activated and mobilized in global harvest.
Right.
We're believing for the third great awakening. And it's time for us to continue to share the gospel with those who respond. Now listen, the gospel works when it is shared and when it is received by those who hear it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times, I mean, if a doctor gives you could be sick and totally ill. And the doctor has a medicine. He says, listen, this medicine, you take it, your symptoms are going to be gone. You're mm-hmm. going to be completely healed. Mm-hmm. You're going to be good. Well, in order for that sickness to go away, you got to give them that medication, right?
Mm-hmm.
They take that medication. The medication has to be what first dispensed, but the medication also has to be
taken, right, absolutely,
and ingested. I mean, how many people have you heard said, "Are you taking the medication the doctor gave you?"
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I'm not taking it.
I forgot.
Is there a reason? Do you see the correlation between your sickness and not taking the medication? Do you see the this is a clue here? There's nothing wrong with the medication. It was given. But the person that mm-hmm. it was went, you know, was going for didn't receive it.
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if that same medication sat in the medicine cabinet week after week after week after week after week? Person is sick, dying possibly.
Mm-hmm.
And all they had to do was reach out for the medication. The answer was right there. That medication would have been better served if it went somewhere else, someone else who was dying mm-hmm. and sick. And someone said, I want that. Can you give me that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me that? Listen, the gospel has to be shared and it has to be received.
Yeah.
And we talked about yesterday that an order, you know, the gospel is only good news. It arrives.
Yeah.
If it's not too late.
Yeah. If somebody hears it.
Yeah. The gospel's only good news if it shows up on time. But mm-hmm. if it doesn't show up on time, then it's not no longer good news for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to have to see, they're going to have to face judgment day.
Right.
And it's for us to say, listen, we're going to make sure that no matter who we're sharing with, that we have the inner witness from the Lord that says, listen, I need to keep this moving. I need to keep sharing the gospel. I need to get outside of my comfort zone. I've shared with every member of my family, all two of them. Mm-hmm. And there's all two of them. They're still, okay, maybe we can go to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can speak to the coworkers. I've done all that. Guess what? Go on a prayer walk.
Go across the street.
Go across the street. There you go. Go across the street. Say hi.
Yeah.
But I mean, Jesus, they said, go in the highways, go in mm-hmm. the byways, go out to the country lane, go yeah. everywhere. Let me tell you something. You don't know how much time you have left. You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. The only thing that you can take with you to heaven is souls.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people going to be showing up empty-handed. I don't want to show up empty-handed. I want to say, Lord, by the grace of God, I got here, and I brought a couple friends.
That's right.
They're all behind me. By the grace of God behind me, I invited some friends to the party.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to show up to heaven alone.
Yeah.
Like, son, you lived all these years on this earth, and you didn't
tell anybody?
Nobody.
Yeah.
No, I just feel uncomfortable with all this evangelism talk. It's not my calling. I don't know. I mean, uncomfortable now or uncomfortable in heaven, which one you want to be, but, you know, I want to bring somebody. Mm-hmm. And the statistics say that the average believer won't lead a person to the Lord. I think that not one person in the whole life. Listen, you can get out there and you can witness to someone. You can share someone the great news, the good news of the gospel. And don't be discouraged by those that say no, because let me tell you, there is somebody that will say yes. And the people that say no today will probably not be the people that say no tomorrow. Keep the gospel moving. It must be shared. And remember that the gospel is only the good news if it arrives on time and it arrives right.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Visit Copy Products today with five locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFNTV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that's being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to Facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV.